This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Good evening. No, wait, evening's the second hour. Good morning, even though it's 4 p.m.
Good morning.
Here's your ESPN Radio three-day forecast. Right now it is, sound like a broken record, 33 and cloudy, getting down to 28 by the end of the night tonight. Tomorrow the high is 36 and cloudy. Friday the high 39 and sunny. How about this, Derek? Saturday 40 and sunny. Sunday 54 and sunny. Monday 55 and sunny.
Wow. Awesome.
Tuesday snow and 30. But
we'll just enjoy
Sunday 53, Monday 55.
Focus on the moment, one game at a time.
That's right, one day at a time. That's the only way you can take it. So that's going to be pretty nice, end of the weekend, start of the next week. But again, 32 and cloudy right now, not getting much warmer until Sunday. You're going to have a few more days of mid-30s and clouds. ESPN Radio.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive in the tube.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood,
Lovey Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
It's The Drive. Derek Piper here, Trevor Valise, Alec Bussey also in the building. Lante is on his way. Don't worry.
He's getting here.
He will be here.
What did he say he spent? Like 23 of the last 30 hours at his office?
Something like that.
Jeez.
Put in the time.
I would not want to do that. You might as well take the day off. If you're listening, just go home, Lon. No, I'm kidding.
I'm assuming he is listening. We're going to want his Trev's ticket picks here later on. We got a full show really breaking down the betting ticket, I guess you could say.
I had fun putting this together on Bovada. I just was scrolling through. They've got the game props and then the special props. And the special props are a lot of fun. There's a spread on the Puppy Bowl.
Nice.
Which I did not know that
game
was actually.
Team Fluff and Team Rough, huh?
Team Fluff and Team Rough. I think Team Fluff has won 5 or 6 years in a row. I was watching footage. Because I do attempt to research, you know. I was watching some footage and Team Fluff.
Oh, so you even broke down the film.
Well, not really. But if they're bringing back all the guys they had last year, I think Team Rough is in trouble because Team Fluff dominated the Puppy Bowl last year.
Noted. Noted.
The national anthem over under, all sorts of stuff that we'll get into at 4:30 and then again at 5:30. 4:30 is the more so the fun side of it with stuff like that. And then 5:30 is the actual game props. But there's still some fun ones in there, too.
Perfect.
And like I said, there's a few that you could technically control if you were at the game, like will a fan run onto the field? You might get thrown in jail, but you make some money if you said yes and then followed through on it.
Yeah, tell the family and your buddies to put the money down. And
that's right. And then they can use that to bail you out.
If you get a bookie that cashes it out fast enough, they'll bail you out.
My favorite might be what color the Gatorade's going to be, because none of the odds are good on that. I think the best odds are red, but there's a bunch of different colors. And again, I was trying to do some YouTube research, and it's been a different color every year for the last like 8 years.
Do you know what it was last year?
I believe it was orange.
So the Patriots had orange.
Had orange. Yep.
Interesting.
But who knows? I mean, some of those are a real crapshoot. But if you put, I don't know why you would. You'd have to be crazy or financially stable. But if you put $100 on the right Gatorade thing, you walk away with like $800.
But can you imagine putting money on, like legit money on Gatorade color?
No, I don't know.
To each their own.
I'm not that obsessed with it, but it's just kind of fun to look at it. And we'll go through that at 4:30 and 5:30.
Sounds good. And talk Super Bowl. I know it's Radio Row down in Miami.
And yeah, we tried to effort it.
We efforted. Yep.
Some NFL guys. Bad work by me because the two that responded said they have interviews every 15 minutes for the next 5 hours because today's the big day where they set up Radio Row. It is set up all week, but I guess today is sort of like press conference day was Monday for the players. Today's like radio interview day, I guess. So today was a bad day to ask for a national NFL guy.
It's okay.
But that's all right. We'll roll with what we got. Instead, we'll talk about the Puppy Bowl because, you know, when you can't get the guy who's on SportsCenter talking about the NFL, yeah. You'll talk about puppies. You know?
We got three more days to break this down.
Sure.
But finally, sound the alarm. Some Cubs news. There it is. Chris Bryant's service time has come through.
I had a drum roll, but I don't. No drum roll?
Drum roll? That's the, what's it, Clark Griswold?
Yeah, I don't have anything like that.
That's all right.
All I have is.
Cubs get 2 years of control for Chris Bryant. Bryant loses the grievance. If anyone's going to have a case, it's him. As far as.
I guess. I never thought he was
going to win it. I don't think he should have won it.
Yeah.
It's just another, this is something that's going to be, you have to sit down with the Players Association.
Right.
With service time manipulation and everything.
I mean, Eloy Jimenez, the same exact thing happened to him, where they said, what was it? His defense was nowhere near ready for the White Sox in the major leagues. And then, lo and behold, the day after the service time lapsed and he got another year, his defense was ready and they called him up. So, I mean, it is blatant. I almost wish they'd just wait like an extra week, even though it's just posturing and optics. Both Eloy Jimenez and Chris Bryant, I think, were called up literally the day after the service time lapsed into the next year. So, I mean, everybody in the world knows what they're doing. I suppose, you like I said, you could have postured a little bit and put a face on it and called them up, I don't know, 2 weeks after and then made it seem like maybe if a guy goes on the IL or something like that, make it look a little bit more logical. Everybody knew what the move was here. But, again, I don't really know. You're right. If anybody would have had a case to win, it's probably Chris Bryant this time, but that's probably just something they're going to need to address in the next agreement.
Yeah, everybody's doing it. You look at, I saw the numbers today. Bryant had hit 325, 43 home runs between AA and AAA in 2014. And then spring training, 425, 1.175 OPS.
He had a ridiculous spring training the year when he was called up. I remember watching that thinking, oh my gosh.
Right.
I think he hit more home runs than anybody in that spring training as well.
So to not be able to be on the opening day roster, and then of course, with the affected service time, now he's in position where he's going to be 30 when he hits the free agent market, which
stinks for him, right?
Yes.
Because I think there's a misconception from people who don't really know the ins and outs of baseball, and I'm not criticizing anybody, who they think a superstar gets paid well, right? Somebody like, I don't know, my grandma who watches the Cubs and loves them. I'm sure she assumes Chris Bryant is a million upon millionaire right now. He's actually not. Now, I know he's got endorsements and things like that that'll obviously help bump up his income, but right now he's still on a rookie minimum deal, and it's not necessarily minimum, but he's not making much. I mean, there's a lot of players in the MLB that are making 10 times what Chris Bryant are making that are nowhere near as valuable as Chris Bryant.
Yeah, exactly, and that's where you need 6 years of service time before you are free agency eligible, mm-hmm. And that's where I think obviously it gives you the team control early, but then you can't really blame players for chasing the money at that point where they need to. They're in that prime stretch where they may only get one big contract.
Right, so they got to go hunt for as much money as they can. I blame the Cubs for not wanting to spend the money, but I don't necessarily blame either side 100% here because Chris wants to get as much money as he can, and I totally understand that, and he should. He's got a wife who's 8 months pregnant. I mean, he needs the money, you know? And the Cubs, I don't understand that they don't want to spend the money, but I also understand that they have Javi Baez, Kyle Schwarber, Chris Bryant. I mean, they got a litany of guys that they've all combined to make like the average annual salary of one average major league player, and they're all coming up at the same time. So while it is frustrating and I wish that I could have my cake and eat it too, I guess I sort of just have to throw my hands up and go, well, the Cubs did get away with having like four rookie all-stars on their team for four straight years without having to address any of the financials behind it. Now it's kind of catching up to them. I still wish they could keep all of them between Contreras, Bryant, and all those guys. But there is a little bit of an acknowledgement that I kind of want these guys to go get paid what they should get paid. I just wish it would be with my team, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. And now with the 2 years, obviously that would add to the bring back for the Cubs on the trade market. Yep. Is this now...
Yeah, so the takeaway,
is it inevitable or
the takeaway for me today is that this is now inevitable.
Yeah,
I think.
Okay.
I think that if it had gone the other way, first of all, I'd be shocked because I think almost everybody across the industry thought this was going to be the case. While Bryant seemed to have some circumstantial evidence, obviously, it's one of those things where, and this happens in every court everywhere, where you go, well, he's clearly guilty, you know, but there's no actual evidence of it. Well, you can't really do anything. So clearly the Cubs waited until the day after to call him up, but there's no transcript anywhere that says Theo calling Jed Hoyer saying, well, we're going to purposely wait till the day after to manipulate his time. You know, so I didn't think he was going to win it. So it was sort of like, okay, we proceed as planned. But it's just had become so long. I mean, we're talking months and months and months with this grievance. All the arbiters and arbitrations have been settled. All the qualifying offers have been settled. And still no grievance result on this, which was weird to me. And for a second gave me pause that, well, maybe they are trying to make some kind of landmark move and they'll award him the grievance. But not a surprise that he doesn't get it. I do think, though, that this means he's going to get traded. Now, they don't have much time now. If you're worried about getting that guy installed into spring training, whether that's Bryant with his new team or whatever you're bringing back. But I do think this now means that Chris Bryant will not be a Cub this year.
And if somehow you were, I guess, see, Bryant's only making, what, 18.6 mil this year. That was always agreed upon. They got it done before arbitration. So it's not like necessarily you're moving a ton of money off the books to where, oh, if you would have moved him, then you can assign Castellanos.
It's not that much money.
Right. Some other teams have already filled that those needs, I guess you could say, with Rendon to the Angels. But also, there's some others that are left with the Braves didn't get Donaldson, the Nationals
lost Rendon. But they signed
Ozuna. Right.
And I don't know how much the Braves are wanting to spend. The Nationals
didn't get Rendon.
Right.
The Rangers missed on Rendon and Donaldson. The Padres are talking Mookie.
They are.
But they could be, if that doesn't happen, maybe Bryant's someone they're interested in.
I still think the Dodgers might be one to watch.
Dodgers
sort of
one.
A dark horse. I know they have Justin Turner, but obviously you'd take a cornerstone player like Bryant. And then there's Arenado and the Rockies out there.
See, this, I don't understand how this one makes sense to me.
So there was a report that came out about 2 hours ago from both Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers of ESPN that said the Cubs and Rockies, this is confirmed, have discussed a one-for-one swap with Arenado and Bryant. I hate it, and I wrote down why I hate it, but
okay.
You go first.
Well, I was just going to say, for a team that is saying, in everything we hear around the Cubs offseason, they don't have the money, then you would trade Bryant, who's going to, again, make less than 19 mil this year, for a player that's already slated to make 35 mil this year and for the next four seasons after that. He's got 7 years, 234 mil left on his contract, that being Nolan Arenado. It would be adding salary.
Correct.
For a team that says they can't do so.
Yeah. So just so we're clear on this Bryant Arenado hypothetical, if first I want to get this out of the way and make it a pre-established notion. They're basically the same player. Okay, I know there's an age difference, but if you look at the stats, I mean, they are 1-2 and then flipped 1-2 in almost every single statistical category for third baseman.
You're talking about this past year or in the...
I'm just talking about overall.
Overall, okay.
Now, I know Bryant... Some were somehow disappointed with the season he had this last year. I know Kevin Wheeler mentioned that. He had a really good year. He fought through some injuries and wasn't MVP level Bryant, but I don't think he has to be if he's hitting 31 home runs and has a really good slugging OPS, et cetera.
Defense is probably the biggest difference between the two right now, right? Because I was looking at Bryant's war, and he was actually a negative 1.1 defensive war last year.
I think I would attribute at least 10% of that to Madden being Madden and putting him in left, putting him in right.
Yeah.
They put him at first for a game. Some of that is probably the switching. But, yeah, he's not anywhere near the gold glover that Arenado is. But I would argue that the negative war is a little bit misleading because I don't think he hurts you defensively.
He's not Ozuna in left field.
Well, few are. But, no, I don't think he hurts you defensively. I don't think he helps you. But if you just go with me for a second and kind of agree that the players are at least on a similar statistical tier and then look at the numbers, Bryant has 2 years left. Arenado has an opt-out after 2 years of this seven-year contract. I guess it was 8 years, and he played out the first year this past year. He has an opt-out after 2 years. So the only guaranteed amount of Nolan Arenado you have is 2 years. Okay, so now we've determined that statistically they're similar, and the number of years you are guaranteed to have them are the exact same.
It's the same, yeah.
So now go to your point of the average annual value of these players. Arenado's AAV, which is basically just taking the total amount of his contract and dividing it by the years that he's on the team, his average annual value is $33 million. Bryant's is $18 million. If the players are basically the same player, and they basically have the same number of years to give to your team, why are you taking the guy that's twice as much as Bryant? It just is going to cash-strap the Cubs even further unless they couple that Bryant move with another move where they send Hayward and Quintana and somebody else somewhere else and recover some money on that end. Of course I want Nolan Arenado on my team. He's one of the best players in baseball. A one-for-one swap is intriguing because you don't have to give up that much. But I just don't understand why. It's like I just feel like you're trading a piece of pizza for a piece of pizza, except you're trading a piece of really cheap pizza for a really expensive piece. I don't really understand the difference other than the money.
Yeah.
And the money is the biggest problem with the Cubs. So while I personally would have no problem with this trade, I would make this trade as a Cubs fan. I don't understand how the Cubs can make this trade, because while Arenado's really good, he's double Bryant in terms of the price, and he's not double Bryant in terms of the talent. That's my breakdown.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. I just think baseline on the money, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if they do this, they'll have to do something else, because the difference in average annual value is about 12 to 16 million. So that means they'd have to clear, just to stay where they are, they'd have to clear another 12 to 16 mil off the books.
Right. So what do you think about this? I looked up his, on SpotTrack, his market value, Bryant's, obviously not hitting the market for two more years, right, but 25.8 mil per year. They're estimating a six-year, 155 mil total deal for him when he hits free agency at 30.
I figured he'd almost grab 200, to be honest with you. I it's hard for me to sit here and say that's a bargain, because I don't think it is, but I think that's about fair for what his value should be. I hate that the Cubs can't get that done, you know, because if you're trading for Arenado, you're assuming that money, and I don't mean like interpreting, I mean you're taking on that money that you're going to owe him. It just feels like they're going to have to do 100% legwork by trading other guys and making these, everything's going to move and change around to place Nolan Arenado on the team instead of Chris Bryant, and while they can make that work, I don't know if there's a big enough talent difference between Chris Bryant and Nolan Arenado that it's worth making 15 exterior moves to make that swap.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
If there is a chance or a decent chance that you're not going to be signing him to that deal and say you just play out these next 2 years, is there any thought in your head that, knowing Bryant's injury history?
Which he does have one.
He has one, but he is coming off 31 home runs, 77 RBIs. I know that's not a ton, but 903 OPS is really good. His hard contact was the best since his MVP year. Mm-hmm. So essentially with the 2 years added on to the fact that he just had a good year, the risk of him maybe breaking down next year, now is the time to move him, right?
Yeah, you want to move your piece when he's as valuable as possible, and I think there was a dip in that value for sure. Now, some of this had to do with, I think the Rockies were the ones, that would be ironic, that beamed him in the head with that one pitch. It was accidental.
Right.
And then he was just not the same the rest of that year, and then he suffered the shoulder injury.
That was 2018?
Correct, which, you know, those two compiled, that's a wash, and I'm not trying to just be biased Cubs fan. That season's a wash for him, okay? I mean, he got hit in the head and didn't remember where he was, and then he got hurt in the shoulder that he swings with. That season's a wash. But yeah, I agree. Last year proved enough that I think you should sell high on a piece that could potentially, I mean, there's no guarantee his shoulder won't start hurting again. He re-injured it slightly on a slide into third base at one point this past year and hit the IL. He came right back and he was fine. But yeah, there is that injury risk, and I would try to sell high on him as quickly as you can. I just don't know if the Arenado swap is worth it for me. I would almost rather sell high on Bryant to the Braves, who have a loaded farm system, or the Dodgers, who have a loaded farm system, or the Padres, who have a loaded farm system,
yeah,
you know, rather than make the one-for-one swap. That's just my opinion.
I've asked you this before, but from my vantage point, it seems like young, controllable, high-ceiling pitching would be ideal, because homegrown pitching hasn't been...
That's the Cubs' biggest shortcoming in this whole rebuild, was homegrown talent. Now, I know homegrown hitting, you drafted Schwarber, you drafted Bryant, you drafted a lot of great guys. But I believe Jeremy sent me this a long time ago, and I wish I could remember what it said, but there's like one homegrown pitcher who's pitched for the Cubs at the major league level and had any modicum of success over this whole rebuild. And I think that was Dwayne Underwood, who came up last year, pitched a few. I mean, he was good, but that's it. Every single starter has been traded for or signed. Every single starting pitcher. And, you know, while I would rather side with the Cubs' way of doing it than the Mets, which was draft hitting by pitching versus draft pitching and by hitting, because you saw how those arms fall apart for the Mets, and they have.
Yep.
You do have to strike some balance between it. You can't just assume you're going to sign the top listed free agent pitcher every single year. You did for a few years because you got Lester. You traded for Quintana. You traded for Hendricks a while back, and then you signed Darvish. So it did kind of seem like you could just buy pitching every year, but now you've run into this issue. And while the issue is separate from the lack of development in the farm system, because the money issue shouldn't be happening, it's still addressing that glaring hole, which was that you develop no pitching.
Right. Would you be interested in a MLB-ready, with control, center fielder.
Yeah, that's interesting because with Bryant, if you're trading him to the Braves or the Dodgers or a place like that, you're more so looking at the juicy top prospects than the MLB-level talent. I wouldn't mind MLB-level talent, but again, it's got to be proven really good MLB-level talent because you can shrug off Chris Bryant being traded for the top two prospects in any farm system because he's worth that. And
it's a long-term move.
It's a long-term move. But if you trade him for MLB-level talent this year, I need to know that that's going to be really, really good. I mean, I know that's obvious, but it needs to be a proven good MLB player, not we took a flyer on four different guys.
Yeah, if somehow you're able to have, obviously, Rizzo at first. Is Scooter Gennett at second? Is that a real possibility? Who else is going to be at second?
It's a possibility. David Bodie.
If Bryant's gone. Bodie would be playing third, right?
Well, then he'd be playing third, yeah, correct. Unless you trade for Arenado or a guy
like that.
Yeah,
right, okay.
Yeah.
So then, hypothetically, Rizzo at first, Gennett at second, Baez at short, Bodie at third.
I'm okay with that. Half of it's really good. Half of it is Scooter Gennett and David Bodie, who probably combined to make one good MLB player.
Right. And if you're able to somehow get high draft pick pitcher with a, I don't know who the guy is in center field that would come in and be better than, he's not better than Almora.
Almora is no good. I mean, he's great defensively, but he's adding nothing with the bat. And I know at Cubs Con, they said, you've yet to see the best from Albert Almora. And I said, yeah, it's true. I haven't. I'm not in love with that outfield, I got to be honest. I mean, I know Schwarber's going to hit 40 bombs.
I'm in the same boat as you with not loving the outfield.
Almora is, great defensively, but just provides nothing with the bat. He's probably going to be hitting eight.
Harrison Bader.
Yes. Yeah, the Cubs and Cardinals outfielders, you can take all six or seven of them and probably combine for, two above zero WAR players in the MLB?
At least you're getting 30-some bombs from Schwarber. And
Schwarber's a guarantee with
defense
the bat.
In the right,
and Hayward's
right
a guarantee
field,
with the defense. But other than that, there's no guarantees in that Cubs outfield. I would like to see some type of move made in the outfield. And I'm not talking about Steven Sousa Jr.
Yeah.
Which
thoughts on that?
$1 million at fine. Whatever.
All of last year got hurt right before opening day. I know before that he had an injury-shortened season, but he's 2 years removed from a 30-home run season in Tampa, which is kind of what you're
Yeah, he was a really, really high-rated prospect with, I think it was the Nationals, and then he got moved to the Tampa Bay Rays, had a really, really good year with them the same year that Kevin Kiermaier had a really good year. Both of those guys got hurt the next year. They shipped him to Arizona, and it's hard to say because he's really not been productive or had many plate appearances in, 3 years now almost, 2 years? So, yeah, I mean, you take a flyer on him as a fourth outfielder. Again, I keep saying this,
really,
if you combine Almora and him, maybe you get one good MLB player.
Yeah.
But why can't I have my cake and eat it, too, is my overall Cubs saying for the offseason.
Cubs offseason so far, flyer on Jeffress.
Yep.
Flyer on Sousa.
This sounds like last offseason, though, like a flyer on Descalso, which didn't work.
Yeah.
You're just taking flyers because that's all you can afford.
But now something seems like it's finally going to happen with
Chris
Bryant.
Let's hope so.
Okay.
I hear Lon's voice, which
Lon
is saying
here.
Something because this room is pretty airtight in terms of the noise because it's a studio.
Yeah, it travels.
We've got the sound dampening foam on the walls. We've got headphones on and the door is shut and I still hear Lon like he's right next to me. So I don't know what that says.
It's a gift that only Lonte possesses. Well, we're going to talk a ton of Super Bowl and a lot of what else is going on. Puppy Bowl and National Anthem. We're going to get you ready to make some bets, make some money this weekend. If you want to weigh in, 217-359-2255. You can also find us on Twitter, search at The Drive 93.5. Podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Go to TayandPiper.podbean.com as well. Stream us live at ESPNCU.com, or you can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5. Trev's Ticket when we come back.
By the way, you outroed that perfectly, and I ruined it, but we talk so much Cardinals, We get a lot of flack for that.
Yes.
We talked Cubs for 10 minutes, and, our boy Lindy says, OMG, why so much Cubs talk?
There's just...
Sorry, Lindy.
When both sides are complaining, you hit the perfect balance. So we are there, and we're going to stay there.
Does that mean we're talking White Sox the rest of the show?
No.
To balance
not at
that
all.
Out?
Nope.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Right. Nope. Mm-mm. The Drive.
There are good ideas and there are better ideas. Renting a truck, asking your friends to help you move, and buying a bunch of pizzas to feed them after they're all worn out might be a good idea, but a better idea is to hire two men in a truck and let them take the stress out of your move. Two men in a truck will only send professional movers and no day labor. There's better ways to spend time with your friends. Contact the movers who care and save your friendships. TwoMenChampagne.com. That's a smart move.
Hey, it's Shane from Rosati's. I know this week we're thinking about two things.
Here we go!
Food and football. We're helping you save Rosati's for the big game. Place a pre-order today for the big game on Sunday. I'll take 15% off your bill. That's right. Call us today and save 15% off your final bill. Save at Rosati's. Call between now and the end of the day Saturday, and you'll save. Call 328-2334. That's 328-2334.
The Champaign County Forest Preserve District offers lots of great winter fun. Their educational programs will teach you about owls, how to make maple syrup, woodcocks, and more. Outside offers sledding at Homer Lake, cross-country skiing, trail hikes, and ice fishing. On clear nights, head to Middle Fork River Forest Preserve in Penfield to check out the stars. You'll be amazed with views at Illinois' first international dark sky park. Go to ccfpd.org to see all they have to offer for you to get closer to nature this winter.
I'm Troy Lands. At Lands, Inc., we have expanded our services to meet your comfort needs. We now provide heating and cooling, plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. With our 8-day same great rate, 24/7 emergency service, and comfort club maintenance plans, you can count on Lands to keep you and your home comfortable any season, anytime. Call or find us online at LandsInc.com. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
At Clever Moose Market Cafe, you'll find fresh, craveable salads, sandwiches, and all-day breakfast served up from the scratch kitchen every day. There's a special menu in mind for Restaurant Week now through February 1st, with an entree and sweet treat freshly prepared with quality in mind. Taste the Spitfire Chicken Spinach and Kale Salad sprinkled with walnuts or dried fruits, or the grilled chicken on brioche with roasted tomato soup, the perfect midwinter lunch break. Visit Clever Moose, located inside Logic Everyday Community at the corner of Neal Street and Fox Drive.
After 29 years at the U of I, the Illini shop on 6th Street is closing its doors for good. Total inventory liquidation now in effect. All items marked down at least 25%. T-shirts as low as 3 for $22. Long sleeve tees as low as 3 for $35. New markdowns daily with many items already reduced 50% or more. Top brands like Nike, Champion, Columbia, and more all on closeout. Shop early for the best selection of remaining Illini merchandise. Everything must go. The Illini shop, 707 South 6th Street in Campus.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Oh, what's up, man?
Hey, it's The Drive with Say and Piper. Lante's actually here, Derek Piper. Thank you, boys, for filling in.
Thanks for skipping out on the Cubs segment. The text line's mad at us.
I texted you, and I'm like, hey, guys, can you handle the first segment? I'm just running behind. I can't. And you're like, yeah, that's good. We're just going to talk Cubs anyway. I'm like, what happened? I didn't even hear the news. So, Bryant, but that was a great first segment. And I agree with both of you, and especially Trevor with what you said about if you're only going to have a guy for 2 years, maybe.
Well, I mean, you might have Arenado.
No, yeah, you might have
that,
him for 7 years.
But I just think everybody has forgotten that he has an opt-out in 2 years.
Who would be better at Wrigley?
Arenado or Bryant, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, it's tough because while people want to ignore this, there is still a little bit of a split between Coors and everywhere else.
That's true.
Now, Arenado is still a ridiculously good baseball player no matter where he plays, but the stats are still like...
Yeah.
Even for MVP-level guys, I think it's fair to say there's at least like a 10% boost in Colorado, right?
No, I agree.
And Wrigley's just so tough because every year it ranks dead like 15th in ballpark in terms of offensive factors. Because when the wind's, I mean, you know, when the wind's blowing out, it's 12-10, and when the wind's blowing in, it's 1-9.
I totally agree.
So
the only thing that's always helped Wrigley is the power alleys. you can homer in the power hour.
I thought you were going to say the basket itself.
Well, in the basket, no does other come out a little
stadium
bit.
Has a basket.
That's true.
And if it lands in the basket, it counts as a home run. But if you think about it, if you like photoshopped out the basket, if it landed there, it would just be ricocheting off the wall.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to
catch it. So they're basically extending like a hand 3 feet onto the field and saying this counts as a home run. It's kind of lucky, actually.
Yeah. Derek, did you watch the Cardinals thing last night? I didn't get a chance. I DVR'd it, so I'm going to watch that. I know, I'm guessing that Trevor DVR'd it, and he's going to absolutely watch that thing over and over about those 1980s Cardinals, I'm sure. All right, is there literally a puppy bowl spread?
Of course.
That is unbelievable.
Trevor watched the film.
I tried.
You did a little research on this?
Yeah.
What constitutes a puppy? Like up until age one? Or so if you're two, are you not allowed to play in the puppy bowl anymore?
Well, they got a mixture of breeds as well as female and male.
Okay.
I don't know what the qualifications to audition or get to the puppy bowl are.
Yeah. So the wiener dogs, are they more of like the kick returners? Maybe the slot receiver?
They did put positions on the graphic when they said welcome to the puppy bowl, but honestly, once that ball is kicked, the positions are pretty mean.
They just go everywhere.
There's always one that like shoots to the corner and just hides. There's one that
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that's right.
Mitch Trubisky.
There's one that is really feeling his oats and goes after the females. If you know what I
boom.
Mean.
Yeah.
Public Jimmy indecency. G. Yeah, Jimmy G. Yeah. There's one that's like always really into the game. You know, always after the ball. He's probably the wily veteran of the crew.
Yeah, he's Fitzgerald.
That. Yeah, he's
just
that.
Wants
yeah,
to play ball
or that Brian Bosworth type linebacker that just gets you know just all over that.
And
stuff.
Then there's
Luke Kuechly,
inevitably one that will urinate.
Yeah.
I don't know who
Antonio
the player
Brown.
I wonder what like the pit bull would be. What position? I mean, if you had a defensive
linebacker, or if you're doing I-form fullback.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
If you had three pit bull linebackers, you should be pretty good defensively, I would think. You know, I mean, that'd be
in the cover, too.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting thing to kind of break down. All right, Trev's Ticket, part one.
Can
I got here just in time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because we're going to do this now, and we're going to do it at 5:30, right?
This is the funny version. 5:30 is the real version.
This is embarrassing, but... I'm reading this. So Rutgers beat Purdue last night. Did they just handle them pretty easy?
Well, the final score was like 5, right?
Yeah.
But
oh, okay. They were up 15 at one point.
The final score wasn't 5.
Interesting
but.
For a little while.
Okay.
Late.
And then Michigan State won by 10 at Nebraska.
Michigan.
Or I'm sorry, Michigan. Okay. So that was a must-win for Michigan. And they get it done at Nebraska.
Without Simpson, without Livers.
Oh, that's right.
Nebraska's really bad.
Yeah, they're not very good. They got Mack and nobody else. Cheatham will get you 10, and that's about it.
Don't sleep on my boy Cheatham.
Well, I tell you what, he looks like he's 40.
Might be.
He's that left-handed. He's the left-handed guy that comes and plays Sunday night basketball, and he's like 42, but he's real wiry and still out rebounds everybody, even though he's 42. Going
he looks good in a sweat.
Yeah, and he's a pretty good sweater too. So that I think that's all that matters. All right, it is time for round one. Of Trev's Ticket.
You gamble?
Gambling? What's anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
It's my money and I need it now.
Everything here revolves around betting.
Come on, sweetheart. That's gambling. You want to gamble? That's gambling.
It's my money and I need it now.
From casino to casino.
You do not have a gambling problem. You do not owe $15,000. It's $20,000.
I want to be a billionaire.
That's sneaky sniffy. You're like sniffy in a bad way.
Okay.
It's my money and I need it now.
Oh, gambling's fun and easy.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
It's my money and I need it now.
Here comes the money.
All right, Trev's Ticket, Super Bowl edition. These are prop bets everywhere, Trevor. So
this is from Bovada.
Okay.
And this is the special props, meaning the stuff that no one really cares about, but everyone is still going to put money on.
Yeah, you can put real money on this.
So
yeah, this is real.
I can get on my Bovada account and bet the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, yeah. And there's more stuff about the Puppy Bowl I didn't even put on here.
Wow. And I heard you guys talking about the Gatorade. What was it? You put $100 down, you could win $800 if red was the color.
If you pick maybe orange or yellow or something like that.
If you did that, you'd just go with your favorite color, right? I'd just go red.
Maybe. I'm so into research that I'd like watch every Gatorade just to see.
Red's almost too out. You got two red teams in this.
Oh.
true.
I never thought of that, Derek.
People are going to go with here's how you work this, is if you know someone who's working the Super Bowl, all you need to know is what kind of Gatorade they're filling up in the bowl, and then you got it.
Then you'd be that one lady that went to prison who had the cookbooks.
Martha Stewart?
Martha Stewart, because she was getting insider information. So you'd be in prison because you had Gatorade information. You don't want to do that.
Okay.
All right. Take over, my friend.
Nice PSA about Martha Stewart. We'll start with the Puppy Bowl game spread.
Is she out of prison?
She is. She's got a cooking show with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Prison really set her life on a whole new path.
Do you know what's funny? I think Snoop Dogg's one of the funniest dudes in the world. I would watch that cooking show.
He's funny because he's got that Marshawn Lynch low-keyness about him.
Totally.
Where he's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny no matter what.
And his voice is just tremendous.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll start with the Puppy Bowl game spread. Team Fluff has won 3 years in a row.
Wow.
And they open as 7.5-point favorites. There's a hook, guys. Ugh. Team Fluff, 7.5-point favorites over Team Ruff. Which one are you siding with?
It's a lot to overcome, 7.5, Derek. That worries me because, really, you don't know going into the game if these dogs are going to be in tune or not. But 3 in a row, I like updating stats. You know that.
It's my
favorite thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm going Team Ruffed, and I'm thinking they cover, or not cover, but they, what would it be?
They cover.
Yeah, the 7.5. I think Team Ruff gets it by 10.
Wow. So they... Underdog wins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally the underdog.
Yeah, I think
Trevor's really hyped up Team Fluff, and he did better than me in the...
I heard him do that.
During the season, Trev's ticket college football. I'm guessing they remind him of Army.
Exactly.
Is Ruff anything like Tulane?
Exactly.
They are?
Fluff runs a triple option, and Ruff is like air raid, just let it fly.
Just let it fly.
If Ruff like Tulane, then I got to keep riding.
Okay.
Team Ruff, underdogs.
So you were Army and you were Navy, right?
No, I was Army. He was Tulane.
Oh, you were Tulane.
Just the funny part was I don't really think either of them are actually that good to us. We just kept riding
just kept
them
doing
to
it.
Fight.
I like that.
All right, next up. Will Mike Vick tweet about the Puppy Bowl?
Oh, my goodness.
No or yes? No is the heavy favorite. If you were to put a dollar on it, you'd win 7 cents.
Oh.
But if yes, and you put a dollar on it, you'd win $1,200.
What? A dollar wins you $1,200?
There's no chance he tweets about
$120.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute, I got a buck.
$10 wins you $1,200.
Oh, okay. You know what?
Why would Mike Vick tweet about the puppy?
Here's why. He's trying.
Oh, his mentions would be.
He's trying to get back in the good graces of dog owners everywhere. But, so I think he maybe makes some tweet like, hey, I'm reformed now about this. I feel horrible, and I'm enjoying watching this Puppy Bowl, and it's cute.
This is going to sound terrible, but he's going to do one of those. I really like the fight in this group. That's terrible.
I'm going yes.
I'm going no.
Okay.
Well, it's going yes. Okay, this is a big one.
I wonder if Mike Vick even knows there's a Puppy Bowl.
Probably not. It takes a lot of studying on this one.
Okay.
The national anthem over under. Demi Lovato is the one singing it this year. Over under is 2 minutes and 4 seconds. Last year went over. 3 of the last 4 years went over.
Huh.
And they were all set at about 2 minutes. It almost always comes down to, based on my research, the final note of Brave.
Oh.
And whether or not they just finish it. And the home of the Brave.
Or
they extend it out. So it really depends on whether or not Demi Lovato is going to bring the pipes to that last note and hold it out.
I was up insanely early last week. Like at 4. No, it was this week. It was when I took my mom to the airport. And I had to be up at 3:30. And I was listening to ESPN and they were talking about this. And they said when the Super Bowl is outside, it always goes over.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Maybe someone on the text line can speak to being outdoors and singing. But
that's true. This will be outside, right?
Miami. Well, I mean, it's a dome, but why wouldn't it be outdoors? Because it's like 70.
Yeah, they're going to open it up, right? Unless there's rain. I'm going to go over.
Okay.
You got to go over. This is like betting the under in an armed services game. You bet the over on the national anthem.
I think it's safe to bet the over, right? Because the under would mean she's speeding through it, and the odds that she would speed through it versus hold it out just seem low to
me. She'll be quite showy with it.
I kind of want to do it. I kind of want to bet that just so I have a reason to watch. I mean, I always watch the national anthem, but a real reason to like
start the timer.
Yeah, and you start it.
It's kind of fun. I did it last year.
Do they start it like right when the music starts?
No, when her mouth opens and the first words come out of her mouth is when you start.
Okay, I like
and then
it.
Then when she finishes is when you're done, not when the music is done. Will a scoring drive take less time than the anthem? So at any point during the game, will a team score, let's assume it's 2 minutes and 4 seconds, in less than 2 minutes and 4 seconds?
You'd have to go yes here, right? Because Kansas City, didn't they in the AFC title game? I don't know, it was the game before where they came back from 24-7 down. They had like three drives that only lasted like a minute and a half. I'm going to take a yes on that with KC with Mahomes.
Leaning yes, although the Niners defense is kind of a next factor.
Now, it is important to mention that the yes odds are much worse than the no.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, because, I mean, that's not easy to do.
Right.
But I'll then say again, yes. If you get a turnover on the 20.
Yeah, just because you have, that's a good point, too. Turnovers, good factor there. Kick returns, they got speed.
Right.
Tyreek Hill's on the field, yes.
Okay. Who's the defensive coordinator for the Niners? The bald dude.
He's got a weird name.
He's really good, man. He is. Well, this team funny won is four games last year or five?
Three, right?
Is it three games?
I think so. What was funny was the Browns were deciding between the Vikings defensive coordinator and the Niners defensive coordinator the day that the Niners and Vikings played. The Vikings got handled, and the Browns hired that guy instead of the Niners.
Oh my!
Don't really understand that one.
Getting handled is key. to getting hired. Matt Nagy, Shanahan.
That's a good
blew a
call.
Big lead.
That's true. That's right.
The Falcons.
That's true.
So somebody on the losing team is going to want to really tank this.
That's right. Did Derek mention that Kyle Shanahan blew a 28-3 lead?
Wow, is the next
how
one.
Many how many times will the 28-3 collapse because Shanahan is coaching in this game be mentioned? The over-under is at 1.5.
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
So you think two individual times, I know it sounds easy, but you think two individual times on the broadcast, Joe Buck will say, and of course we remember that Kyle Shanahan suffered that 28-3 loss.
What would be key for that is if in the intro, like if they come out, whatever it is, that's college basketball. And they say,
you know, they're going to mention it once.
They got to mention
it once.
They
probably got a package coming out of a commercial break that shows the highlights from that game and then shows Shanahan. But the question is, do they bring it up again?
Who's the color guy?
Troy Aikman with Joe Buck on Fox.
I don't know if Troy throws him under the bus like that.
Now, here's the other key. If you think the Niners might get out to a lead.
Who's up at halftime?
Blow it. They'll mention it 10 times.
I think I'm going over.
Okay.
I'm going over.
Under. I think it'll be once.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with Derek on that one.
Okay.
Will Demi Lovato forget a word in the national anthem? Yes, the odds are in their
favor.
How is
yes the favorite?
I don't know.
Does this happen often?
I know.
I don't know.
I'm going to say no. I mean, these are professionals, and this is a big stage for them.
Somebody knows. Vegas knows, guys.
I'm just kind of thrown off here.
Demi Lovato, you know, stinky, sniffy one.
You could miss one little word, though. And the home break. It's like, I didn't say of.
Say no.
Okay, I'm going to go no, too.
Total Donald Trump tweets on Super Bowl Sunday. Over under 13.5.
Do they have to be 13 about
13.5?
No, not about the Super Bowl. Just tweets.
In
he
general.
He tweets on average 17 times a day.
He does?
Correct.
Can he just take a break?
I'm not going to comment.
I'm going to go under and have Donald take a break.
Okay. Some of this might factor into whether or not he's at the game.
Correct.
Which we don't know if he's going to be there or not yet. Because if he's at the game, he's probably not going to tweet.
Okay.
Whereas if he's sitting at home with musings of the game and other things, look out.
I'm going to say he's not at the game and we'll go over.
Okay. Okay. Will the coin toss land heads or tails?
Oh.
The odds are exactly even for both. The same odds, heads or tails.
Do you guys always pick a certain one?
Yes.
I do too.
Okay.
Do you always pick a certain one?
I do.
In Madden, I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going tails. I've been a tails guy my entire life. I'm going tails.
Always chasing the tails along. Heads.
That's why. I'm just going to leave both of those right where they are.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Pick tails. Goodness. Will a fan run onto the field during the game? This is one you can't control.
Is this normal too?
No is a heavy favorite at minus 1,200. Yes is plus 600.
I can't imagine with the security that they have at these things. I'm going to go no to that.
No.
I mean, baseball's so much easier, right? To just jump out down that right field line. I mean, you can literally just step over it almost. Yeah, I'm going to go. Have you ever wanted to run on a field?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you really?
I've always just thought of how long it would take until I got tackled.
Well, right now, I'd make it not even to the foul line. The guy would get me, and it'd be like a 78-year-old security guy would trip me up. I'd be like, man, that stunk.
I think it would really depend if the players took it upon themselves to chase after me.
I just don't want to get arrested.
I think I could get past the 78-year-old security guy.
Okay.
But if the players are indifferent and standing there, I could probably make my way around the field. If you know, because like I think it was Zeke Elliott in the Pro Bowl a few years ago, like gang tackled the guy.
Did he really?
Yeah, rushed the field. I don't want that coming at me.
I would not do it in a game
any part of that.
That Puig is in. Because Puig would like probably just game or personally something. Take it like.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go no to that.
Okay. Two more. What Gatorade color? This is a big one.
Okay.
One of the big ones. Actually, let's do that one last.
Okay.
Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first in his post-game comments? I'm going to go from best odds to worst. Teammates at plus 115.
Okay.
I want to thank my teammates.
Yeah.
God at plus 250. A lot of guys start out with that.
God has always, it seems like that's gone down a little bit.
Yeah, but some of them still come out and say automatic. All the glory to God first before anything else.
True.
City plus 500 if they say Kansas City.
Hey, baby, we did this for Kansas City.
Coach at plus 500. Mm. I have a hard time thinking they'd mention coach before anything else.
I can't either.
Owner. At plus 1600.
Although I could see if the Niners win it, I could see Shanahan getting a lot of props. Like if Jimmy G was the MVP, I could see him saying, you know, Coach Shanahan really drew up a great game plan.
I couldn't
after
see
he was down 28-3, he just really came back.
To ruin the bet. You're like, no!
I couldn't see.
Does that count in the in the broadcast?
On the broadcast,
I couldn't see owner unless it was maybe Tom Brady talking about Robert Kraft or something like that.
That's a good point.
And then family at plus 750, which honestly, I'm surprised that's the second worst odds.
Yeah.
I could see a guy going, maybe he's holding his daughter, his little kid in his hands or something. I don't know.
Okay, here's why I'm going city.
Ooh.
And I like your Niners hat. I just noticed that.
Thank you. As you know, my aunt and uncle live there.
Yes.
And I was just out there for the bowl game and they bought me a hat.
Okay, here's why I say city. Because I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. And it's been 50 years, exactly, right, since they've been in a Super Bowl. And I think I could see Mahomes saying, as the MVP, I could see Mahomes saying, you know what? Kansas City's waited a long time to get back up here, and boom. So I'm going to go city. I'm going to bet this, actually.
Okay. I like that.
That's good odds.
And if you're San Francisco, I guess you're in a new city. Yeah, I could see, like, Jimmy G saying, yeah, it's been, you know, we've had a transition to a new city in Santa Clara.
Why would he say that first, though? You win the Super Bowl, and the first thing he says is, well, we went from Candlestick to Levi's Stadium.
That's a good point. I'm going city because I think it'll be the Chiefs, and it's been 50 years.
Okay. I'm going all the glory to God.
Okay.
Not bad. Like every day, rocking with you today.
There you go.
Boom.
You want to come back and do Gatorade?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. It's perfect. All right. We're teasing the heck out of what color will the Gatorade be and the odds to which color when we come back. It's The Drive.
This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. At Provident, our mission is to help people plan for and get through some of life's toughest challenges. We provide each of our clients with individualized strategies, premier service, and independent thinking to help them achieve their financial goals. Contact us today at 3017 Village Office Place in Champaign or call 217-366-3456 or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome into reviews. This episode, we are focusing in on Luther Falls. Cammy, who gave a 5-star review, said, quote, I cannot say enough about the professionalism, dedication, workmanship, knowledge, prices, choices about this lovely and ever-growing family business. They installed a custom bathroom for us a few years ago, and we are repeat customers with our custom kitchen countertops this month. The countertops were absolutely beautiful, and the whole process was positive. Keep up the good work. You are all awesome. Go to LutherFalls.com for more details.
Financing now available.
Hi, this is Vanessa Duncan with Special Olympics Illinois Region I, inviting you to take the 21st annual Law Enforcement Torch Run Polar Plunge and or Dona Dash 5K Saturday, March 21st at the Lake of the Woods in Mahomet. Plungers raise $100 in donations, while Dona Dashers pay a $30 registration fee. All proceeds benefit Special Olympics Illinois Region I. Register today at plungeillinois.com and be bold, get cold. Our 21st year on March 21st in Mahomet. Get involved now and visit plungeillinois.com.
Oh, gee. Should have called ABC.
If your heating system is still not ready for winter, call ABC Heating and Air.
Their goal is for you to always be comfortable. With regular maintenance from ABC, you can prevent small issues from becoming bigger problems. Your equipment will last longer while allowing you to feel more comfortable indoors. Protect your investment with a heating system tune-up from ABC Heating and Air. Go to abcheatingandac.com or call 352-5400.
If you're looking to save money at a grocery store with fresh fruits and vegetables, with in-store help, and someone who bags your groceries, I invite you to visit Value Check, where cost plus food creates more savings. Value Check, where quality and price meet you in the middle. Did I say you'll save money? You'll save money. Fantastic specials every single week. If you want to save money on your groceries, visit Value Check today. They're at 1914 Glen Park Drive in Champaign.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. A lot of people text in about Kobe King. Kobe King is leaving the Wisconsin basketball program, as we announced. And you just got something on that, right, Trevor, that it's not the fit? Or was that Derek?
From Kobe King's Instagram, saying, after talking with family and friends, I've decided that the best step for my basketball aspirations, as well as my love for the game, is to immediately step away from the University of Wisconsin men's basketball program. Very tough decision for me. However, after spending 3 years in Wisconsin program, I realized that this program is not the right fit for me as a player and a person.
Yikes. That's not exactly a prototypical goodbye announcement.
Could everything start to spiral downhill for Wisconsin over the next decade?
I told you that, I said this a year ago, that my hot take was that Wisconsin basketball was going to become Illinois basketball this past decade.
Yeah.
Is my larger hot take of the decade.
And could football somehow start to just go down? That'd be interesting.
It would be.
Okay, somebody said, LOL, I bet the national anthem every year. Favorite bet of the football season. It's a nerve-wracking 2 minutes.
It is.
I know Alec just said that Demi Lovato, Alec, she's done it 3 times. Is that right?
Yeah, I Googled if she had ever done it before. It said she'd done it 3 different times, a couple times in the World Series. None of them have been over 2 minutes, and I think it said the longest was 1:58.
Wow. I would have lost money that Demi Lovato's done 3 national anthems at World Series games. Maybe she's only done 2. All right.
Yeah, so she did it at the Cowboys and Seahawks game, just a regular game.
Mm.
And then she's done it in 2 World Series.
Wow, I didn't know that. All right, thank you, Alex.
She's got a great voice.
It's beautiful. And that's nothing against her. No, yeah. I didn't know she'd done it.
I got you.
Okay, go ahead. Gatorade.
What Gatorade color will be poured on the winning coach? Now, there's one on here that I didn't list that says none.
Oh.
Which has even higher odds. It's unlikely that that'll happen, but what if for some reason he gets caught up in the scrum, they can't pour it on him, and then you make off like a bandit with a ton of money, but the options are lime/green/yellow. That's just one kind of Gatorade at +250.
Okay.
Orange at +575. I don't know why that is so high.
Yeah.
Red is the lowest odds at +135.
And interesting what Derek said, that both teams are red.
I don't know if that impacts what color they fill up in the bowl, but that is true. Clear/water, that's +625. That's the worst odds, the highest odds. Blue is +650, so that's actually even higher. I don't know why.
Why is that? Blue's the best tasting.
And then purple, +450. So just to recap, you stand to win the most money if you bet blue and the least if you bet red.
Hey, blue, green, 40. You know what? It's the year of, like, the water. Because it seems like, you know, like Brad Underwood comes in, he gets doused with water now.
It's the year
of the
water.
It's the year of water.
Year of the
it's
water.
The year of the H2O. I'm going clear water. Clear Gatorade/water. That's what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, the secondary color.
No sense. It's the year of the water. What are you talking about?
Well, coaches get doused now, or players get doused after games, and it's always water, of course, in college, because you can't have beer in there.
Sure.
Red would be too obvious. Secondary color for the Chiefs, and really, if you're going to count gold, I'm going to say yellow.
Okay.
Yellow.
Yellow plus 255.
Yellow right. just looks like a bad color.
I didn't say it was going to look good.
No, that's true. It doesn't have to look good.
Lante's philosophical musings.
I came out on fire today, didn't
it's
I?
The year of the water, and yellow just does not look good.
And Team Ruff is covering the 7.5.
There you go.
All right, we're going to get more nitty-gritty with the actual game in the 5:30 Trev's Ticket. We'll do that next hour. And also Drive Time, talk a little Big Ten basketball. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.